All right. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode here at North to the Numbers. We have a very special guest in the building today, a local artist, a dope artist, a singer, all the things. We're here welcoming Selena.
Hello.
And I'm also here with my co-producer,
you know it,
tech man,
you know it,
Ado.
What's up?
Yeah, let's get into it. First off, I just kind of want to just say, like, I'm a fan already. Like, I've been listening to you for a while, just like peeping, and like, I definitely, like, when I first heard you, I was like, she has to be on the station. So we definitely threw you in rotation. But I just kind of want to give you the opportunity to just kind of start and talk about your foundation, like how you started creating music, and then just like everything from there.
Okay, word. Well, I'm Selena. I'm 19. I was born here, raised here, still living here. I would say I started recording music around the age of like 15. I met a bunch of really cool kids from like Westview, including Ado over there. That, I mean, like, he hella inspired me. I feel like he doesn't think so, but
I really don't.
But no, that's really what got me started. I'm dead ass. Like, I met these fools and they were doing house shows with like a brand called Sinner. And I was like, shit, this is so fucking cool. Like, I want to start making music. And then I just like started using Beats headphones and GarageBand, which I still use, and just like started off from there.
Dope.
Yeah.
It's so dope.
You're in GarageBand still?
Hell yeah.
Fire.
I mean, I upgraded the Beats headphones, but like I still use GarageBand for sure.
Do you be making the beats on GarageBand?
No, I wish. I need to learn how to make beats, but
I was on GarageBand for the longest time, and then I just like got Logic, so I know the GarageBand vibes.
Right? GarageBand is, didn't Steve Lacy like come up on GarageBand?
Yes, I think he still does.
He still does.
Right, so GarageBand is it.
Oh, that's crazy.
That is it. I wanted to tap in to just like ask you, who are some of your influences on like your sound?
Yeah.
Local artists you want to give a shout out to, and all that stuff.
Influences. I would say, like, honestly, Adele. I was like the biggest fucking fan of Adele for like since I was like 7 or 8. She was just like my favorite. I also love Justin Bieber. I feel like with some of my lyrics, there's some shit I feel like, yeah, maybe Justin Bieber would say that. But I love Sade and like Erykah Badu and Jasmine Sullivan and Frank Ocean and Georgia Smith. There's so many. I feel like it's a mix of so many people.
That's kind of crazy that you brought up Adele, because like without you like actually saying that like influence, like it's something that I can hear, but I feel like you've expounded on it in your own way, which is really cool.
Yeah, totally.
Some good ass mentions. Yeah. I'll tell you that. Uh-huh. Definitely I can hear it.
Yeah.
Man. I wanted to ask you, when you're creating, like, what is the kind of energy that you want around yourself? Like, how do you get into the process of making your music to start?
Yeah. To be really frank, the energy I'm usually in is like not a good one. It's usually in a place of like searching for relief and in a moment where I want to cope, and it just like has always been something that I've turned to for relief. And I don't know, I feel like it's pretty rare that I'm like in a really great mood and I sit down to make a song. Mm-hmm. And that's why like a lot of it is super emotional, is because it's just like really my outlet.
Definitely.
Do you write everything before you record it, or do you just like freestyle it?
I don't write anything. I've never written anything.
That's crazy.
I can't do it. I like overthink when I'm sitting there writing, like, this doesn't rhyme. This sounds like ass. So it's just like, it just free flows in the moment and works so much better for me.
Are you a one take artist?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not.
That do be tough. One takes be difficult as hell.
Yeah. I'm just a perfectionist, so there's like little things.
No, I feel right? that.
Yeah.
Fuck that word.
Right? I'm in a room full of artists. Like, don't you, are you guys one take artists?
Fuck no.
Rarely.
Right?
Rarely.
You gotta be like hella high to do that shit.
And
you're like,
I used to try and one take shit, but then like, I don't know who taught me how to punch, but like once I learned how to punch in, I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Real.
Yeah.
I'm a writer. So.
Oh, we should do like a writing session.
I'd be 100% down. You should definitely come through.
I would love to.
I want to pivot. Well, kind of on a similar note, what are, like, when you put out music, what are some things that you would like people to understand about yourself when you're dropping songs? Like, what are the things that you want to, what are songs too that you would want somebody to know about you that like mean something to you?
Yeah. I feel like just in the last year, with like my album Solace that I dropped in July, that was probably like the most heartfelt thing that I've ever made and like the most pure to who I am. And so I would say the songs on there, one of them's called Clay. And it really just talks about like losing yourself and losing somebody and how like, damn, there's like a lyric in there I'm trying to think of. Losing you felt like I'm losing me. Mm. And like that's just like the whole concept of the album too, is just like that pain of losing yourself right as you're losing someone too. And I feel like a lot of those experiences I've gone through where I've like lost myself, you have to like lose yourself to find yourself. So just like the person that I am now is because of those experiences, and that's why like those songs I feel like define me the most and kind of like let people really into who I, like why I am who I am now.
Dope.
Sorry, I'm like getting hella deep.
No,
this is the point.
This I'm a deep exactly. person.
Please, yeah.
I'm a Scorpio.
What's okay. I'm an Aquarius.
Okay, word. I feel like I could have gotten that.
I vibe heavy with Scorpios. I got a lot word. Of water. I got some water in my chart. So
okay. Do you have like Pisces in there?
Yeah, my mom.
I
like,
knew it.
Yo!
I knew it.
Okay, Selena knows me for all of 2 seconds and knows my chart to a T. This is what's up.
It's exactly this. Yeah,
that's crazy. I wanted to ask. You're so. It seems like emotionally connected to your music. You're not. You just go in to express yourself whenever you're making music. How have you gotten to the point where it's like you are comfortable in being like, okay, I'm gonna drop this, like, because that's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a challenge. Like, I make things, like, even just, like, a couple weeks ago, I made something. I told my manager, like, this is way too personal. I'm not dropping it. But I think with time, it just becomes something that, like, I want to share. And I, like, also have just found over years of releasing, like, super emotional stuff that, like, the response that I get from people, like, when I get a DM and they tell me their story, and they tell me, like, I really related to this and this, like, saved me in a way. Like, it just makes it all worth it. And, like, sharing my story just becomes, like, a tool of power for me to connect with people.
Dude, I can't even, like, I can't even, like, begin to, because literally, like, when I think, I'm pretty sure it was Ado who put me on to, like, your music. I listened to it and I'm like, yo, like, immediately felt like connection, like I could feel your spirit.
That's really beautiful.
Absolutely. So I just, I'll first of all, yes, like congratulations to Solstice, amazing album for those listening.
Thank you.
Need to listen to that now. But you also dropped another project previous to that.
Then what did I drop?
It was like 111.
Oh fuck yeah. Yeah. Forgot about that, Shuddy.
Real, okay. But you dropped that, and I'm like, I do my research. So it was, you dropped 111 on January 11th, 2020.
Yeah.
What are those, like, synchronicities, like, mean to you?
Yeah. That's getting so deep. Funny. Angel numbers are so popular now, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're so popular. I think, I mean, just with all the names for all my projects, I, like, wanted to call them just, like, words or numbers that I felt, like, found me while I was making them. And with 111, like, it was just, like, while I was creating that album, I was just seeing that number everywhere. Or I'm, like, recording and I'm stopping it randomly at, like, 1 minute and 11 seconds. And I was just, like, fuck, it's 111. Right. So, yeah, I guess that's just how it came out to be.
Real.
Yeah.
I have a big one. This might be a really deep question.
I'm ready. I'm an open book.
Get saucy, bro.
Yeah,
let's get deep.
So, like, creatively, I feel like we can, like, we came up around a lot of the same people, and like, totally, we've seen a lot of things happen in like that group and like in that circle. So in all of that, I won't even lie, I felt like a level of discouragement when like a, like certain things went down, certain things like came out, and like with you, you've just kept trudging on. So like, where did you find that motivation and that power to just like keep going at the level that you are, you have been, and then achieve the things that you have?
That's a great question. I think, I mean, okay, maybe a little bit of like context for that group of people. It was like, this is like a Portland youth, you know, we're all like 16 to maybe like 25, 26 group of artists, right? We all do a bunch of different shit and we're all doing it together. But I definitely did feel that level of discouragement. Just honestly from like the older kids, it was really hard. I joined that group when I was 15. And so I honestly felt that level of discouragement till that whole group fell apart when COVID ended. And that, I think that's really when I started to like find my sound and start just like doing my own shit. And then I got connected with a studio in LA who now manages me. And I think that also made a huge difference on just like taking my music to the next level, taking my sound to the next level. But I think the biggest thing was just like stop like giving a fuck what other people think and stop asking for people's opinions. And I just started dropping like every month. I just was like releasing what I was making. And then that just like really hyped me up. And I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it.
That should be real.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that transition like, or has been like going back and forth to LA and even like connecting with like the management that you do have and like taking your level, taking your music to that? Like, what was that process like for you?
Well, it started out as just like them reaching out to me like, oh, you know, we love your music, we want to take it to the next, you know, level of quality sonically. So I was like, word, let's do it. And the mix just came back sounding like ridiculous. And
what was the transition of like, I guess, what was it like going out to LA more? And then like the transition of like how you decided to like go forth on like, okay, this, I'm being managed by them, I'm doing this now, like this is a new step. Like,
That's a hard question because I feel like I didn't even know in the moment.
Okay, bro.
Because I was so young. I think I was 16 when they found me, or like right about to turn 17. And so just kind of going there, I was like, I had my eyes like very wide open to it because I think it's like LA and there's a lot of people that will try and take advantage of you. But I really just tried to embrace the fact that like these people just wanted my music to sound better. And so I just like enjoyed my time kind of going and spending time with them and seeing what I had to learn from them. And they turned out to be really amazing people. So I'm very lucky.
Blessings. That's dope. That's so dope.
Yeah.
Okay. This is, so a while back, you sent me a song of yours called 16 and you've been teasing it. The age 16, because I think I met you around the time that you were 15, 16. Mm-hmm. And like that age for you, what does that mean to you? And like, what does that represent for you?
Wow. Probably like the time in my life where I underwent like the most painful experiences of my life thus far. And I'm like, I'm really young, but I feel like I went through shit that like was just so heavy, so heavy. And it ripped me apart. It like absolutely just destroyed my sense of self. And the one thing I had during that whole time was my music and like my friends that were in music. And so I guess just being 16 represents like this time of transformation and just like really looking into the eyes of like pain and trying to find the light through it and embrace what I could. And now I look back at 16 and like how proud I am of myself to have gotten where I am now and to have gotten through it. And so with that song 16, it's really just about honoring my past, even though it feels a little bit embarrassing to share. Because I took a lot of treatment that I definitely didn't deserve. But yeah, definitely just proud of her and proud of being 16, getting through it.
Damn. No, that's real. Yeah. That's so real, too.
I think it was like,
this is so emotional interview, bro.
Yo, I think me and Ada will be having like conversations. We were having a conversation the other day of like those points and those periods in our life where it's like, I look back and be like I want to, the 13-year-old version of myself that was like trying to go and do X, X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to make that person proud.
Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm.
I think there's such a beauty in like, even when like you're saying like 16 was a like crazy transformational year for you, like being able to like push through that and mm-hmm. like make that version of yourself proud. Like, I think about that now. Like, I wonder what like the 6-year-old me like would mm-hmm. you know feel about this, and you know, totally. Like, because that's what really matters. Like,
totally,
man. So I don't know. That just got deep.
Yeah, I know. love for us.
I really want to like also celebrate like just how much you like musically, just everything in like yourself has grown as a musician. Because like, I definitely think that 16-year-old you is looking at you now and is like, holy shit. Like,
no, dead ass. What is that called? Imposter syndrome? Mm-hmm. That shit's real.
Yes.
It's real. I feel like every time I do a show in LA, I'm like starstruck. Like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Man.
Yeah. Ado knew that 16-year-old. Do you remember her?
I do.
Yeah.
You knew that. How old was I? Like 18 at the time? You knew that 18-year-old.
Like 17, 18. You were a senior in high school.
Yes.
If I could, what was 16-year-old Selena like?
I want you to answer it, unless you were asking me.
I mean, no, I was asking
that was
you,
for
but
you,
I'm.
Ado. You,
oh, that was for me. That.
But we can get from your perspective.
No, I'm good.
16-year-old Selena was ambitious as fuck. Ambitious as fuck. I would say like high schooler. Like, if anything, like you were a high schooler and talented and very communicative. And I think that's definitely the person that I met. And I feel like so much of that still shines through now, but I definitely see like the growth in just your personality and like just like who you are as a person in general. I think you've grown a lot, but I think that's life. That's just everyone grows.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Dope. Yeah. That's crazy. That's so, I just like,
this is a really
it's
deep
so
interview.
Sweet to really hear like all like the relationship and like how much y'all seen each other grow. Like, that's so dope.
This is just really
this is a moment.
Yeah.
I'm fucking with it.
Yeah.
I'm fucking with it too.
I had like a question and it just
it's all good.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Oh, actually, it's back.
Okay, wait.
You talked about performing in LA.
Yeah.
How do you prepare yourself for performances? Are there any rituals or like things that Selena has to have before like, what's that for you?
Ooh, I mean, I love going to the beach when I'm there. I usually always go to Santa Monica and I just take a book or I take a journal and I write about like the intentions I want to set for the show. And usually it's like different for every show and it's a different crowd, and so I really want to just like prepare myself to be the best version of myself for that crowd. But yeah, usually just like journaling and relaxing, sometimes like a little spliff there. Just like listening to the set list, just like really getting in touch with myself helps.
Dope as fuck. Mm-hmm. How do you go about preparing a set list in various places that like you're performing or?
Yeah. Usually it just is like trying to create like a story with the songs and kind of like a roller coaster for the crowd to just like ride with me. But a lot of the times I like, my manager hates this, like I will just change the set list like 10 minutes before I go on because I'm like, no, I want to perform a new song or whatever the fuck the case is. So it really just depends on my mood, honestly, of like, I feel like singing this today, so I'll just do that.
Real.
Yeah.
That's dope.
I'm curious about something. What? So how has it felt? So, like, you'll go to a show in LA, and, like, obviously you're connecting with new fans and, like, connecting with people who aren't, like, Portland people who are in the town. So, like, how has that been, like, going? across America, and or even just like in DMs and having people from like across America or even across the world communicate with you and be like, your music means something to me. How has that experience been?
So amazing. I'm going to shout out like one of my biggest, my like favorite supporters. His name is Sean. He's from Ireland. And he found me in 2020 when I dropped 111. And he started sending me like art that he would make while he was listening to my songs and like letters of just his story. He's such an incredible human being. And he's been through so much. And like, it was just so heartwarming to hear like how much my music spoke to him. And so it's amazing. I mean, anytime someone DMs me about my music, I'm like instantly there. And I'm like, here's my number. Like, let's FaceTime. I FaceTime Sean like every week. And I love staying in touch with these people because they're just amazing people. And they are like why I am where I am.
Damn.
So they're just like my besties. Shout out Sean.
That's so dope.
I'm sorry if I cried during this interview.
This is like 20. I don't even know what number. We in a place right now.
I keep getting emotional. Because I'm just like, bro, like, I feel like in everyone's own way. And I feel like everyone who like grew up doing what we were doing and like who saw you has to recognize that like early on, like we had someone to look up to, and like looking where you're at now and looking what you're doing. And like, even like so many motherfuckers won't even take the opportunity to talk to people who fuck with their music.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you're over here like FaceTiming them. You're just like, let me talk with you. Let me get you on the phone like that.
Yeah. Because people's egos are so fucking big.
Yes.
And I think that like, oh, like even in fucking Portland, bro, it's like you just get the smallest amount of clout and you think you're shit. And it just like really irks me because I just think that like it also has to do with like people's intentions when they're making music. I mean, there's people that are like, yeah, I just want the fame and the money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like obviously they're not going to give anybody that fucks with their music the time of day. And I just think those people will die out. And I think they don't really deserve anything.
That's real.
They get. And so I don't know. I just. That's the kind of person I am. I want to appreciate, you know, the things the universe sends my way.
That's dope. I feel like that's a commonality that we've had in speaking with people, in speaking with artists.
Oh, I'm Portland. Sure.
It's all about, like, ego. Like, people, like, pointing out the issue of ego is really big out here. Mm. The issue of, like,
connection.
Like,
it's fucking Portland. Like, why do we have ego? Like, why is it such a big thing? It's Portland. I feel like when there was house shows, there was like a lack of ego in a way.
It was.
And I mean, there definitely was. It was there, but it was
it existed, but it wasn't as intense.
Yeah, it was like in a way more simplistic way, in the sense that like we were all just really happy to be like with like this strong group of creatives and just doing our shit every weekend, you know?
Damn.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I do miss the house shows.
Me too. Can we bring that back?
Yes. We just need to, if I could handle like 30 motherfuckers in my mini ass apartment, I would.
We can
like,
make it happen.
I know. I think we can too.
I think a lot of what we're trying to do too with this platform in particular is to just show love to like local artists and like the people that don't get love, black and brown artists specifically out here in Portland. Like, man, look, I'm looking forward to stuff.
Yeah, me too.
You move like such a human. I don't know if that sounds stupid, but
you move like such a human.
What does that mean?
Like,
that's dope.
So many
that's what it means.
So many like, even like so many people that I even fuck with. Like, I think you're getting like really authentic me right now, because like I think so many musicians that I just fuck with, you run into the issue where it's like you have to like talk like a musician, and you have to talk like almost like you're running a brand, and you move like you are speaking as like just like everywhere you go, you are just Selena. And like, this is me acknowledging that I have struggles with like fully like accepting myself in business situations or fully accepting myself in musical situations.
Yeah.
But like, just seeing you and be able having like, I'm feeling inspired as fuck, bro. Like, that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like so honored to like be here right now, and you guys are asking me these questions, because I think also as artists that are like very authentic, it's sometimes hard to have that opportunity to be authentic. Like Ada was saying, like if you're finding it hard to be authentic, sometimes there's opportunities where it's like hard to be that and you can't, you know? And so I don't know. I'm just happy I'm here.
That's so good. I'm very, very happy to, first of all, be interviewing you, meeting you, and like really just taking in your energy. You are so dope.
Thank you.
Do you believe in the power of manifesting?
Absolutely.
What does that look like for you? And then I wanted to take the opportunity to like allow you the space to just like manifest some things that like we're gonna be looking back on 10 years from now. Like, yeah, Selena said it.
Okay, word. I mean, manifesting to me, I feel like I manifest a lot of shit in my music, positive and negative. I think that like everything you say, you can speak into existence. And I think that, I don't know. I just think that we're very, very powerful beings and we can create whatever we want to create if we believe it. So probably some things I want to manifest. I don't know. I'm like, I'd be wary about what I say in front of people because, you know, sometimes their energy can like shit on it.
Yeah.
But I trust you guys. I feel safe. I don't know. I feel like a genius interview. I'm like very much trying to make that happen this year. A Selena weed brand, you know, smoking Selena. That's happening. And just going on tour and being able to like do little like meet and greets and shit and like fucking just like vibe with people that fuck with me. That's like probably like just something I'd love to do this year.
Coming.
It's here.
All of them.
And make like a high quality music video. That's been like one of my biggest challenges. So probably that.
Yes.
It is all yours. It's all existing.
Yes, we're creating it.
Man, this is
the energy in here is insane right now.
Do you feel like you're empathic?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
I was like, I'm picking
Are
up.
You?
I don't know. Sometimes, I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I be feeling like I'm clairvoyant in certain ways. Like I feel like I get messages through dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like sometimes I can definitely feel a vibe of somebody and like, I can feel energy or like you ever be somewhere and be like, this does not feel right. Absolutely. Like something here had to happen. You ever like,
yeah, you just feel it. I feel like you're like looking through my soul right now. Like your eyes have this thing and you're like looking into me.
Bro, you're getting the Taya gaze, bro.
You came and got me downstairs.
That's crazy.
You're getting the Taya gaze.
You can like read me, but I also feel like I can read you.
Okay. Okay. We gonna have a conversation after.
We're gonna have a writing session. It'd be the best shit ever.
Oh my God.
Bless. All right,
go ahead,
bro.
You said something that really hit, and like, I feel like there are portions of this interview that if you're like, let's not put that on, we don't have to. But this is just genuinely something I wanted to know. Just like in through your creativity, you've talked about like manifesting things, good and bad, in music, and like things that you say. Like, I don't know if this is too tough of a question. It's okay if you don't want to answer. Like. Have you ever found yourself like saying certain things in music and then like something that you were feeling at the moment and then seeing it like fully come to fruition in real life and be like, holy shit, like this is happening now.
Yeah, that happens all the time. Honestly. Yeah. All the time.
It'd be scary.
It sucks. It's like
sucks
in the moment, like it's like, but I think in a way, like it's like me channeling my intuition when I'm recording. That it's like I'm feeling something and it's like I'm like dying to get it out and I get it out and the next day it fucking happens.
Mm.
And so, and then, but I get that sense of relief after I record it, that it's almost like the next day when I have to deal with it, it's not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to go back to that song and I'm like, little do I know, I get to listen to something I thought I was going to go through and I'm going through it. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. I know exactly what you mean.
Super crazy. Yeah.
I'm just like you ever have those moments where it's just like you kind of like crying through like making music?
Yes,
those be wild.
I know, right? It's tough, but it's so good. It's so good for us.
What's next for Selena in terms of music, life? Like, what are some things that you're looking forward to 2022 and beyond?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't dropped in like 10 or 11 months now, which is the longest it's been. and we're starting the releases in 2 weeks on the 31st. And we're going to be hitting every single month. We're dropping a song this year. And then we'll probably have an EP or a project in July. So that I'm super excited about. But it's super nerve-wracking. And it's scary because it's super personal. And it's like a new sound. Like we have like punk shit that I've made. And like fucking disco and R&B and indie and everything. But I'm so excited because I feel like it's like I'm becoming this new version of myself right now. I'm growing into it. I'm embracing it. And so just like wherever, honestly, whatever, wherever it takes me, I'm just open. I don't really have any expectations this year. I just want to like live in it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more time, if you want to plug anything else.
Yeah.
This is the spot.
Don't want to plug anything else. I don't know. Take care of yourself, guys. Fucking give yourself time to live and breathe and don't worry about everything today or tomorrow. Just fucking live your life and don't put so much pressure on yourself to be or do shit. Just fucking sit in your bed and watch Gossip Girl and eat Doritos.
Facts.
Yo.
Yeah. Selena, out.
Mic dropped.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
And that's it.